feeling a bit hard up for Cleveside. I think we're going to concentrate this year on Parshas Vahar, although because Cleveside has an infinite amount of lessons of a modern Batira, Techocha. But I'd like to focus on very much the first Pasuk of Parshas Vahar. Vaydabe Hashem o Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemur. Okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe ben Ahar Sinai Lemur. What's the Pasuk talking about? Says the parasha Dabo b'nei Yisrael Mata Lenki Savoy La'oret, and it talks all about the halachas of Shemitah. Sheishan Tizra Sadecho, 6 years you should plant your field, Sheishan Tizma Karmecho, you can do your Karen, Vasafas Tavaso, and you can do the harvest, Vashana Shavit. The Kitche talks all about the halachas of Shemitah. So, in other words, this Rabbi Yisai is a parasha dealing with the halachas of Shavit, of Shemitah. Like the very Frig Rashi, why does it say Vaydabe Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemur? Says Rashi, Ma Inyan Shemitah Etzel HaSinai. This is like the classic. When you know you're in the Gemara Shei, you ask something that's completely, you know, nothing to do on a Ma Inyan Shemitah Etzel HaSinai. You know, what are you talking about? So Rashi, why on earth do you talk about Hilcha Shemitah Bahar Sinai Lemur? Shkoyach. Kol Mitzvos Nemun B'Sinai. All Mitzvos are said at Sinai. You know, so why is Dafke here? Bahar Sinai, Shkoyach. What about Kiddush Havana? Wasn't said Bahar Sinai. And what about, going to Moron on Nag Bo'im? Wasn't said Bahar Sinai. Oh, everything is said Bahar Sinai. Yeah, so, Reicha Tesha, why should you talk about B'chlal? Here we're talking about Shmita Har Sinai. No other mitzvah notorious that say that. Nowhere. Dafke, but this mitzvah talk about Har Sinai. Said Rashi, Elamah, Shmita Nemro, Kol Lo Liseho, Pratisodikus Elma Sinai. Just like by Shmita, all the diktukim were said at Sinai. Af kulon nemru klalusim diktukim Sinai. All of them were also at Sinai as well. Wow, Gavaldi, no, it's good. What's the kasha? All right, what's the kasha? What's the teretz? The kasha is, why does it say here talk about Har Sinai? Answers Rashi. Yeah, this teaches you that every, just like the pasuk says over here, that everything was said within Hilcha Shmita at Har Sinai. Teaches me that every other mitzvah also said to Klai Yisrael, every dikduk and every prat at Sinai. Shkoyach! Yeah? But the question still applies. The question is, he hasn't answered the question. The question is, why do we dafka talk about Shmit about Har Sinai? Why do we talk about Shabbos about Har Sinai? V'da ba Hashem HaMoshe about Har Sinai Leimor, Sheishtam Tav, Tisifu Kol Malachtecho. Keep it 6 days of Shabbos. Why dafka over here by Shmit about Har Sinai Leimor? So Rashi, Kola, what's the terrace?
We use it in the circumstance where things are so far off. So saying because it's so far off, it comes to teach you everything that is even chicken and everything else. It's all like
why kol chicken? Well, why should anything else be less choshev than Hilcha Shmita?
Less of a connected in it. And we use it when you're speaking.
Lulav. Lulav. What is connected to Har Sinai? What is?
It's on the same level.
Only the big ones, the Aseret Dibros. It's all really the same level.
There's no application. It's only
it's that's the case. Ikka chosse. Something missing from Rashi. If that that's what it's saying. Can I turn this one down a little bit? There's two chassam sefer. One chassam sefer says like this. He says, this is what you should teach in discovery, that one of the proofs of Torah min Hashemayim is its parasha. Here we have a person who's running a whole industry. You have a Klal Yisrael, you have a whole nation that are sharecroppers or people who have their own private fields. They're all working in agriculture. Yeah, there's very few high-tech people in a time when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, there's people who are all working, very little banking. They're working in fields. They're making a panosa, partial panosa of the vineyards, of the fields, or the fig trees, or the olives, whatever it was. They were working on the ground. That was their panosa. Comes on Moshe Rabbeinu and says, gentlemen, I want to tell you something. Got a good idea. I'd like you to work for 6 years, the seventh year. Don't work bichlal. Nothing. Close up. Don't work bichlal. Moshe, sounds lovely. And what are we going to do that year? They all come to the base of Medrash, make extra for Yoimi Shurim, we'll make extra Enyak, whatever you want, we'll make very nice Moshe Rabbeinu, exactly, and how are we going to feed our children? Oh, no problem. I thought of that as well. In the sixth year, you'll get a produce for 3 years, and that'll last you over. You get the new crops in the eighth year. Don't worry. Nafiah was not from Moshe Rabbeinu, from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, from Sinai. If it was man-made, how long exactly would such a Torah exist? How many Shmitois, how many years of starvation would Klal Yisrael survive before they realized that Moshe Rabbeinu did not get the Torah from Sinai? He made it up. He sat in his tent, yeah, and a few rabbis sat down and decided to pretend it came from them, not from the Rabbeinu Shleinam. It would take one Shmita and starvation of the whole Om, yeah, and they'll soon realize that his poor Jews have missed the plot. Completely, that's not Moshe Rabbeinu taking it from Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu made it up himself. Okay? Zokt Rashi. Why say Bahar Sinai Leimor? Zokt Rashi. My inish Shmita. Why does we talk about Shmita Bahar Sinai? Zokt Rashi. Valakom mitzvah is nemer misinai. Elema Shmita nemer klaliseh v'diktukel misinai. By Shmita we know that Vaday it came from Sinai. Because this mitzvah, if you made it up, it wouldn't last very long. You would not know. Yeah, you wouldn't. This mitzvah will fall apart. The whole Torah will fall apart. Therefore, just like by Shmita, it's clear that it was given from Sinai. So too, this is right for all other mitzvahs. Af kulo nemru kloseim diktokeim is Sinai. Everything else was also given to Klal at Sinai. In other words, Shmita is a proof that how the emes kite, the proof of the Torah is given at Sinai. Understand? That's Peshat in Rashi. Therefore, Shmita is special. Shmita proves the rest of the Torah is emes. Okay? That's one Peshat in the Chassam Sefer. You get it? So it mamish fits into the words. So the first way of learning of this, Mashmita Isa Sinai, is Poshut, telling me, a raya, proving to me, that Torah was written and given to Moshe Rabbeinu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sinai, otherwise it could not come along with such grandeur. Proclamations and declarations and say, leave your field fallow for a year and I'll supply it for 3 years. It must be all came from Sinai.
The Rashi's
focusing on the truth is the Chassam Sefer doesn't really say that he's not touching into the words, but he's touching into, I'm touching into the words. But the Tzedek Tzedek means everything within Hilchus Shmita has to apply. Yeah, it's going to be the halachas have to apply, and the haftachas have to apply. So too, everywhere else in the Torah, every little prat also applies as well. That proves the Torah min hashamayim. Okay, now, that's one pshat. Another pshat is like this. This is a very, very, very wonderful pshat, also from Sefer. It says like this. He said, what is really the idea behind mitzvahs? Why do we have mitzvahs? What's the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Klal Yisrael to act in a particular way? Why? What's the point? Why could you tell Malachim to act in a particular way? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mitzvahs that are sometimes difficult, mitzvahs that sometimes hold a person back, sometimes are expensive, sometimes are tiring? What's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mitzvahs to a human being? Why? What's the idea? What's the word behind it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael in order to be to mezaka them, but what? How should they relate to it? To be machnia themselves to him. In other words, the idea behind mitzvahs is hachno. Hachno is appreciating every mitzvah, saying out clearly, "I'm not avdo de kutcha barichu. We are avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." That is the idea behind mitzvahs, and that is the whole concept behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs. And why give us difficult mitzvahs in order to say, to stand up and say, Rabbeinu Shloilam, we are your avodim. That is the idea behind mitzvahs. Hachna is subjugation. To subjugate yourself to Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know, I once had a ger who used to live in London. And he was a fresh on the scene, very, very intelligent person. Really nice, really, really nice, schmucky guy. And it was the first day of Slichus, it was a cold Sunday morning. Yeah, Slichus was at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock Sunday morning, Slichus. Now, in that time in England, Slichus already, it's already September time, you can already get ice on the windshield. Yeah, so at 6 o'clock, it's already 5:30 for sure, you know, you've got to get ready. 5:30, it's pitch dark outside, there's ice on the windscreen. and you come into Slichus and it's a full car park. And it's Sunday morning, right? Sunday morning, don't even think about getting out of bed before 11, 12, right? This is 5:30 in the morning, getting up on a cold Sunday morning to Slichus noch, you know? Even better, right? Anyway, so you park your car all the way down the road, and he knocks. You hear a little knock on the window. So you press electric thing, the windows go down, and this is Gare standing there, and he says, "I don't know. This is certainly in the fine print. I don't know about this. Yeah, 5:30 Sunday morning. This isn't a fine print. I never know." Now, what's this all about? What is this all about? Isn't a fine print. But the mighty got out of bed, Kolakavati, and he was there, 5:30 on a cold Sunday morning in London. Okay, what's this idea of staying at the whole night shavuos? Why is this? You know, the cheesecake piles up and the Red Bull piles up, and but what's this all about? It's hachnot. It's saying the Bnei Shlomo, when I go to bed, it's toilet on the minhag. Yeah, what time I wake up is toilet on the minhag. Yeah, people walking around scruffy. Yeah, people walking around now doing the Omer with you know, they look like the Yetis, some of them, right? The abominable snowmen. And they're walking around, they're going to work, they're walking around with these big beards. You know, and it's not talking about yeshiva, that's nothing, that's, you know, you get more cover for that. But walking around in the business world, walking around like that, you know, going in the underground, going to business, sitting at work with a big beard, it's a mysterious nefesh. Why? What are you doing it for? I'm not after the Kutcher Brich. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, that's what we follow. Then that is the idea behind mitzvahs, and you've got to internalize that. And we have to show, Rabbeinu Shleidam, we're doing this not because we have peer pressure, but it's because we are your avodim. Fine. But for the Chasam Sofer, let's take an example of an Esrog and Lulav. Okay, Tani comes Lulav and Esrog, and he goes along, looks at Hilchos Shulchan Aruch, he goes to Hilchos Lulav, and Chelek Vav, he learns through the Halachas very, very carefully, what's called a Lulav, what's called an Esrog, within a Lulav, and within an Esrog, what's called a Murkav, and what is a Pitum, and a Ukut, and he goes mamish all the way through the Halachas, and eventually he takes out his wallet, $150 to buy himself a beautiful Esrog. I'm not after the Kutcher Brichu. He could have taken $150 and used it to buy himself a few juicy steaks. But he didn't. He took it to buy himself a Lulav and Esrog. Hachno! Gewaldig! Unbelievable! But he comes to Shul, and he's got Lulav and Esrog, and he says, look at that Lulav. It's like a lemon. That one? Ah, look at my Lulav and Esrog. Ah, what a choshev yid I am. I wonder how everyone look at me, and especially holds it up very high, doing halal. Everyone can see his Esrog, and everyone looks at it. Well, the Esrog, and you know, Baruch Hashem, this is his status symbol now. Instead of having the car in the car park, the first of davening, he's got his Esrog, and the gaiva, and the taiva, and the covered with his beautiful Esrog. Baruch Hashem, what's he saying? Hakadosh Baruch Hu, thank you very much for making everyone else avodim to me. So he's taking the mitzvah of what's supposed to be in hachno, of doing something for avodas Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and he's doing it completely the opposite way. He's making itself as a derech for him to get covered in tzedakah and everything else. That is with a mitzvah, a regular mitzvah. So you can spin it around. Person gives tzedakah. Gewaldige thing. But he wants a big plaque, he wants a lot of covered, and he wants to use it in order to, you know, to make people inferior. That is with most mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah, though, that is very, very difficult to feel a balgaiva about. That's mitzvah shemitah. Here you have a field, and you have a field, and you're the owner of a field, and everyone knows you're the owner of a field. You have a special label on the apples. Everyone knows you label other apples, you know, the best apples, and you're buying, you're selling, importing, exporting. You're doing all work with your field. You have your big watchdogs, you have electric fences, you have the big lights, you have the security guards, and you have the workers, and the factory. Everything's working beautifully, working. Suddenly it comes to the end of the sixth year, you close up produce. That's it, finished. People start trampling into your field, you turn off electric gates. People start walking in, start picking off fruits. You get the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat in your house only as long as the animals in the field can eat. Therefore, the animals are as choshev to be able to eat as you. Yeah? And suddenly, you're not such a great guy. Everyone else has the apples. Everyone else has much right to the apples as you. That is a lesson of hachno. That is absolutely teaching you hachno. That is teaching you that this is a mitzvah and this is the reason behind every other mitzvah. It's all about hachno. Ma. Do you understand? There's no gaiva there. Vagrashi. Ma in yishmita eitz v'har Sinai. Why is yishmita about har Sinai? Rabbi Yisai, what's har Sinai? Har Sinai was a mountain that said, Rabbi Yishleilom, You putting the Torah on me? Who am I? Put a mountain on, put a, give a Torah to this beautiful mountain. He wants it. Put on me, on me. Zograshi ma'in shmita eisa ha-Sinai. Why is shmita by ha-Sinai? Zograshi is very, very simple. Because shmita and ha-Sinai. Komis nema b'Sinai. Ela ma shmita nema klo simut diktukeret b'Sinai. Mi Sinai, what's the diktukeret and the halachos of Sinai? In other words, what do you learn from shmita? Shmita learns all the halachos from Sinai. Hachno, being an onof, all the halachos of Hilchus Shmita come me Sinai. Learn from the Hachno of Sinai. Learn this all about being machnia yourself, not using a mitzvah to overpower somebody else. So too, every other mitzvah we should learn from Shmita, that you should use the mitzvah afkol, afkulon. Okay, it's a bit of a play on the words, but afkulon nemo close to came me Sinai. So too, every other mitzvah, the Elulav and the Esrog that you could use, also you've got to learn Mi Sinai. You've got to learn the idea of appreciation of Achno. Admit that Kodesh Baruch Hu loves Achno more than he loves big beauty and big gaiva. That's the K Mi Sinai. Okay, so that's the idea. And the first idea was to understand that the Chalal of Torah is given from Sinai. The second idea is not the Shat Torah is given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Shemayim. No, Mi Sinai, that's ideas of Achno. But it goes even further. The Gemara says, and it's brought down the Medrash many times, Gibor Koyach, Oysa Devori. No, this is, I thought of this, and Baruch Hashem I found it later on in the Beis Yisroel. The Gemara ever said the same thing. The Gibor Koyach, Oysa Devori. Gibor Koyach, those people who are strong, follow his words. Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda, V'shoyme Shvi'is HaKosu Medabe. Here referring to a person who keeps Shvi'is. Roye Sadeu V'shoyfik, a person who sees his field being trampled on by all different people and he keeps quiet. Yesh l'chot gibor godol mizeh. Is there any greater, stronger person than that? Okay, so the posuk, Gibor Yekoyach Oysa Devori, I'm not sure the posuk is, I think posuk is to him, is referring to the people who keep Shvi'is. Now, what's that all about? What's the idea behind this? Shmita, obviously you have to understand this. Shmita is an amazing nesoyin of Amun and Betochen. Sure. It's an incredible difficulty. You know, the Meister today, these farmers, even you get secular farmers who give up, who close up their field for a whole year when they see next door the competition, you know, the growing stuff. Can you imagine? You have a field that is bringing in, some of these fields bring in 200,000, 300,000 shekel a year. Okay? And you've got this little field and it's working well. And you don't pick up your hands. You don't sow. You don't plow. You don't sow. Your next neighbor's plowing. And he's sowing. And your tractor is rusting in the shed. Yeah? And then it starts growing and things start growing. And you look at yours. There's weeds growing all over. Nothing's being done. And you don't do anything. You just stick around. You don't move. And then, unbelievable. How are you going to live? How are you going to survive? Emuna betochen. There's no way of us dealing with this. It's poshut emuna betochen. Are you going to ask me? He's already seen it in the third year that he's got what's emuna betochen, right? In the sixth year, he's already seen it's going to last for 3 years. So what's emuna betochen over there? So I'm shouting emuna betochen over there. Yeah, it says in the sixth year you're going to have produce for 3 years.
It's worth 3 years.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Exactly. You see, the territory, exactly. You're not going to see. You're going to see the same amount in your storehouse that's going to last you for 3 years. That's going to be the chiddush. But the ma'aser, you don't realize it's going to last you for 3 years. That's a munim b'tochen. Okay, that's one pshat. Another pshat is it's talking dealing about in chutzal. That's ma'ayim rishon hashvi'is. That's a ramesha. You got to work 3 times harder. Enachanama. Okay, but it's a munim b'tochen. It's an amazing amount of munim b'tochen.
Now,
the ramesha, because it says over here later on. The apostle says, I'll give my bracha and it'll last you for 3 years. Then the apostle says, and I, if you'll say, and then you say, my yoichal, yeah, what are you going to eat? So the apostle, don't worry, again, I'll give you. So ask Ramesha, it doesn't seem to be in order. Says Ramesha, no. If you don't ask anything, b'chlal, then the Kodesh Baruch will give you a little bit of tavur that will last you for 3 years without having to work too hard. If you're makatni amunah, if you don't have too much money, and you say, what are we going to say? I need to see it with my own eyes. Then the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Okay? I'll give it to you more. I'll give you three times the amount of Tefillah. Now, you can see it now? Okay, but now you've got to deal with storing and cutting and packaging. Okay, you want to see it? You want to see it. That's from Moshe's vault. Of Aaron's vault, Aaron Kotz used to say that even if you see something in front of your eyes and you see you've got more Tefillah, still, it takes an amazing amount of Amunah still not to work. Yeah, but it's going to be, I had the Tefillah, maybe it's going to rot, maybe it's going to get stolen. Amunah, you can see something in front of your own eyes and you still need Amunah. That's of Aaron's vault. But, okay. But the Maaseh, here you have Amunah B'tochen. Now, Abayisai, we're an audience that understands. That understands what we're talking about. Some people don't understand this, but we understand this. Let's talk about in our world. And we're talking about in a world that is not the Olam HaTorah. But Olam HaTorah, there's people making money. We have friends making money. Not as much as they used to. But we have friends making money. We have friends who have decent jobs. We have friends who are earning a degree and, you know, they're becoming dentists, becoming lawyers, becoming accountants, whatever it is, working in high tech, whatever it may be. There are friends who are moving up the ladder in finance. You know, and al pidarach hateva, until prior to last year, al pidarach hateva, these people one day will be able to be very comfortable. They have nothing to worry about. You know, we are Baruch Hashem in yeshiva. Ashreinu, Baruch Hashem, it's supposed to be in yeshiva. But lemaisa, they're worries. Lemaisa, we haven't got a pension fund, and we don't have money in savings, and we don't. And poshut, it's nissim from month to month. How you pay our rent, and how you pay our mortgage, and how you pay our electricity bill, it's nissim, right? So lemaisa, how do we live? You know, lemaisa, how does a person who's learning in yeshiva or learning in a kodel remain in yeshiva in a kodel? How do they do this? The teretz is Shemitah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to tell you something. You can take your field and work it for 6 years, which is crazy. Nobody works a field for 6 years straight. You always split it up. You can do crazy stuff. You know what? And you can leave it for a whole year, and I promise you won't lose out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I promise you won't lose out. V'tzvisis b'rchosi, I'll sort you out. And you'll see it. You can see with your own eyes. Nissim v'niflois, people who do Shemitah, nissim v'niflois, I'll sort you out. So the same shayla is going to be asked by those people who want to learn Torah. Those people who want to sit Bar Sinai. Those people who want to sit and receive the Torah on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, what are we going to do? So the Kodesh Baruch Hu b'tzivisus b'rchosi. Just like by Shemitah, there's no shayla b'chlal. The Kodesh Baruch Hu supports those people who work with Shemitah. I promise you, there's a special Shatad Shemai people have who sit and learn. Ma'yecha b'shana ha'shishis, ma'yecha what's going to be in Kodesh, people survive. People survive. So what's Peshat? My inner Shemitah is in Har Sinai. There's a big connection in Shemitah and Har Sinai. Shemitah is the idea that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives those people who want to work and they want to do the right thing. And Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them Parnasa. So too, people who want to sit and want to learn, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them special Shatad Shemaya. Avada, everyone's going to ask their shailas at certain times. Avada, I'm not going into that. But there is certain Shatad Shemaya. A person has had a friend who was in the mirror for years and years and decided one time he's going to go out and start working. And he started to work.
Why?
He had a growing family and he needed to work. He came back after a couple of months and he said, you've got no idea. The first week that I started to work, my washing machine broke down. That cost me two and a half, 3,000 shekels to get a new washing machine. The next 2 weeks later, my fridge broke down. Yeah. And he said, Posha, I've worked so hard and it's exactly the same amount of money as I had sitting in the mirror. So here we have an insurance policy by Kodesh Baruch Hashem saying, now I'm sure all your appliances, just sit and learn. You want to try and make more money by going out the base of Medrash? Try! But it's all Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. Nothing's going to make any slightest bit of difference. Avada, certain times you have to go out, and of course sometimes you've got to have an achrayas. That is, each one is an individual case of Das Torah. But the idea of understanding that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control, that is Shemitah. And that is what it's all about. I told you, a famous story with there's a man who had lived in Bnei Brak. Many of you know the story. A man is living in Bnei Brak years and years and years. Man now had a bigger fat. One child, two children, three, five, eight, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12 children. People are saying to him, you know, you got a profession. Why do you go out and work? So no, Ez Hashem. And he had a nice home. He was supporting the chutz oritz to a certain extent. But he came to marrying off his kids. Didn't know how to marry off his kids. He had 13, 14. What's going to be? Anyway, going to Shidduchim, people said to him, you're crazy. He said, I don't know how I'm going to manage. gets a letter from the Swiss embassy that he's got a meeting in the Swiss embassy. He goes to the Swiss embassy. There's a man, a childless couple. The husband of a childless couple died in Switzerland, and they left over their will to the Swiss citizen who has the most children. And we've investigated, and you happen to be the Swiss citizen with the most children. You have his entire estate. It was millions of francs. Millions of francs. And he, Baruch Hashem, married off his children nicely. Okay, this story doesn't happen every day. But it's a species berchosi. Yeah? The geschmack I had was, for those people who are antagonizing him all these years, what's going to be? Yeah, that's the geschmack I had. You know, more the geschmack than he came out of his kids. The geschmack to say, you know what? Baruch Hashem, thank you very much. Need to borrow some money? I can lend you some money, no problem. Yeah, that is the Shavishis Berchosi. That should be the Eitzel HaSinai. Okay? So the first idea is Toyer Min HaShemayim. The second idea is the Hachnoi Mitzvahs. That Shmita Eitzel HaSinai, HaSinai teaches you Hachno, so to Shmita teaches you Hachno. And the third idea is that every idea, every time we have an Nisroyim of working and doing something that is connected with Ratzon Hashem to make some extra money, remember Shmita. You got a phone call, right? And the phone call is in the middle of Chazal Shashatz. And you can see the ID, caller ID, that is a mortgage bank. They've been waiting, they're trying to get through to the manager now for weeks, and he's possibly waiting for this phone call. In middle of Shmona Esrei. Chazal Shashatz, what do you do? Turn it off. That is Shmita. Running outside. Oh, yeah, hello. Yeah, that is not Shmita. You got another few minutes, you got Chavrus in a few minutes, and a phone picks up. Who's it? It's a client. Thank you very much. Send my phone back tomorrow morning. That is Shmita. Taking the call and getting involved in holes and everything else is not Shmita. That is the third idea. Now, the fourth idea, Rabbi Isai. That's the basic straw. Okay? The third idea is a very, very fascinating idea. Now, this is sensitive. In other words, you have to. This is something which is step above. In other words, you can get people for Hashem who believe Torah and Hashemayim. You get people who appreciate the Havachnor for mitzvahs. They use Torah in order to make them better. You have people who appreciate that it's not a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice to give up a few hours of learning for the sake of Rabbeinu Shlomo. Even that's not a sacrifice, but it's a whole new level. And the Torah says it's not enough to have Sheishanim. It's not enough that you have Shmita every 7 years. There's something new. That's called Yovel. Now, what's the difference between Shmita and Yovel? What's the difference? Shmita and Yovel seems very similar, but it's really worlds apart. Firstly, in the idea behind Shmita and Yovel, Shmita is basically taking time out. You're taking time out. In other words, you have everything, the fields belong to you, your avodim belong to you, everything is yours, but you're taking time out. You're not using those fields that you bought from somebody else. Yeah? You're not using those avodim that you own. You keep letting them, do other things, not working in your fields. You're taking time out. That's Shmita. Yovel is absolutely reversing everything that you've had till now. 49 years, a person would have had a field and owned a whole estate and field. That goes back to its original owners. You can have a Eved working for you, a very, very good Eved. He's been working for you for years, honest, and he knows all your ins and outs. He's your typical English butler. He knows exactly how you want your toast buttered. He knows exactly how you want your shoes polished. He knows exactly what newspaper to bring and how to open it, everything. And suddenly, after 49 years, this English butler goes back. And he gets it. Finished! And you completely start all over again, somebody new. That is Shmita and that's Yovel. It's a completely different level. Shmita is time out and Yovel is a total reversal. More than that. Shmita, according to Meshach Chochma, comes by itself. No, it's not Meshach Chochma. This is from the Beis Av, actually. This is the Jochen Schlesinger says this. Shmita is the idea that it happens from Min HaShemayim. In other words, if I don't proclaim it Shmita, it happens. Like Shabbos happens without me proclaiming it Shabbos. It happens automatically. Yovel, he brings rise from the Rambam, and rise from different Gemaras. Yovel does not happen unless you have Hachrozah of Basin. Unless Basin stand up and say, Rabbi Isai, blowing the shofar, today is Yovel doesn't happen automatically. You've got to declare Yovel. Okay? So it's a major difference. One is timeout versus reversal, and the other time is that happen by itself versus an actual stand and saying and declaring now it's Gable. Says the base of, somebody asked him once, what's the difference between a yeshiva man, yeshiva bochel, an avreich, and a businessman who learns a few hours? What's the difference? So he wanted to say, this person asked him, the difference is in the amount of time you learn. A businessman learns for, if you're lucky, 4 hours a day, 3 hours a day. And avreich, or yeshiva bochel, learns 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours a day. That's the difference. So the base of, no, that's not the difference. There's a fundamental difference. The fundamental difference is that a person who is a yeshiva bocher or an avreich, his whole Torah, his whole life is Torah. Everything is around Torah. Everything is around focusing on Ratzon Hashem. Everything's around understanding and appreciating the fine details of Reb Chaim, of a Viskarov, or a Shmaitzer. Everything's about that. The biggest insight you need to receive a Bach is your Balabos. What's a Balabos? A Balabos is somebody who does take time out. But where's his head? Where's his head? His head is in the business. In other words, of course he takes time out. Of course he appreciates his Ahachno. Of course he appreciates Tovim and Hashemayim. Of course it takes him a few hours in terms of his mobile phone to learn a base medrash. But his head is in business. His head is in business, and he's taken out this few hours because he's chinuch, or society telling him he has to learn, so he learns. Masha Inkain, a person who's a yeshiva man, a person's yeshiva bochur, an avreich, his head is in the base medrash. It happens to be that sometimes, in order to get to the base medrash, he's got to pay the bills. He's got to make some money, whatever it is. By the way, there are plenty of avreich and yeshiva bochurim who are business people. And there are plenty of business people who yeshiva bochurim. Yeah? I saw recently a business person by a chasna. He's a fine, you know, Kananoha is doing very well financially. His conversation was mamish as if he just came straight out of the base medrash. He travelled, he came from Antwerp, he was in London. You know, he wasn't the conversation around the few people he had around him was an interessante Rebbe Kiva Eglis on Hilchos Brachos. Now, he doesn't understand this. Moodig Achilles. And the whole discussion was Torah. The whole discussion was Torah. And I was very, very impressed. He's a person who's a businessman, but his head is in Torah. And you get the other way around as well. You get people who are stuck in the yeshiva. But unfortunately, you know, they. The biggest wish was they have anything that's going to possibly take them away from yeshiva, you know, like even going to Moran. That you know, had a Baruch Hashem, found an excuse, let's go. Yeah, so it does have that reflection as well. Yeah, but the difference between the two is in quant, and that is different to the yeshiva man and that. What is offside there? Shmita is about time out. That's a balabos. It's time out. It's time out from business. 6 years it's working. It takes time out. He's taking his gemara, has his shir, has this, he has that. That's his shir. Yeah? He's doing it because he is trained to do it. He has, you know, he has peer pressure to do it. That is Shabbos. It happens automatically. You know, that's what he does. Yovel is not time out. Yovel is a reversal. Yovel is telling the world, Rabbi Yisai, I don't care what you think is important. I don't care what you think is what I think is important. That is not important to me. What is important to me is Torah. What is important to me is a nuance in a chazal, is a geschmack in another extra, another vot, another connection in a chenim and a chenim. That's what's important to me. Stand up and say, I know I'm not leaving learning now. I'm staying a little bit longer. I'm staying in Kol now. Stand up against parents who are pressurizing and say, I don't care what you say. I don't care. You think it's important to make a panosa? Lovely. So do I. I also think it's important. But the kind of panosa you think I should be making, and I think I need, and I want to sacrifice for the sake of learning Torah, that is what I want to do. I'm declaring I am different to you. And that is Yovel. That's a whole different level. That is a whole different koyach. And that's a hachrova. That's achrova. That is achrova. Achrova is standing up and not doing the norm. Standing up and making a stand and saying, I am different. What you think is important, I don't hold as important. I don't mind driving around an old banger. You know, and having Sraman on the back. I don't mind. I don't care. Because that's not what's important to me. The Rambam says, in Shmita Yovel, the Rambam says, Asher not v'rucha oisai. Ve'viyam idaita le'lamoid. Yeah? Lama lifnei Hashem l'sholtoi. To stand up. And to sholtoi u le'obdoi. U'porak ma'al tzavoi. Takes off your shoulders. Ol cheshbon yisurabim. Everyone else. Asher bikshu b'nei odom. What everyone else is worried about. Elo holach yosho, he goes straight, k'moshe ofa Hashem, ha'ezen is kadish kodesh kadoshim v'yeh Hashem l'chotoy. This person comes kodesh kadoshim ha'kodesh baruch comes in chayv. That's a whole new level. Shmit is gavaldik, knowing Torah and Shemayim is fantastic. Knowing that all about Torah and mitzvot is a hachmo, is what at least is expected. Having munim b'tochon, of course you've got to have munim b'tochon. But what is expected for b'nei Torah is a level of yevil, to stand up and to say to the world, what is important to you is not important to us. I don't care. The pressure you put on me is not going to make any slightest bit of difference. I appreciate, I love Torah. And if we're not up to that level, and if you're not there, fine, not everyone can do that. But at least appreciate those people who are holding that level. Realize that they are a step above. Realize that those Talmid Chachamim Gedolei Hador, who are into those kinds of things, who are not interested in what's going on with the dollar, not interested in what's going on with the bank accounts, not interested in those things, they are different to you, and therefore they're on a greater level, and therefore you've got to respect them and take their eitzah. If not after, they're fine, but don't chas v'sholem say, they're just, I'm learning 5 hours, I'm learning 10 hours, what's the difference? No, there's a major, major difference. I just want to finish off that the idea is that the chinuch brings down, why do you have a shofar? Why do you blow a shofar? By view of shofar by Arzachem, by Yovel. Why did you blow a shofar? The idea is, says a chinuch, an unbelievable vod. The chinuch says in mitzvah, Shein Lamed Amav. He says, the idea of a shofar is that it's very, very difficult to do a mitzvah yourself. Giving back a vodim. It's very hard. You had a vodim all these years to give it back, to start all over again. It's very difficult. Says a Torah, you know what? We're going to give a mitzvah. Blow a shofar. And suddenly you hear a shofar all over Eretz Yisrael. From this shul, there's a shofar blowing. Oh! This shul, they're keeping Hilchos Shofar. They're giving their vodim back. You go down the street, you hear another shofar blowing. Oh! This shul is also giving their vodim back. And all over you hear different shofars blowing. Positive peer pressure. Being in an environment that everyone else is keeping Hilchos Yovel. They're all giving back their vodim. They're all giving back their fields. That helps a person keep their mitzvahs. In other words, everyone knows, everyone knows, it's not healthy to smoke. Now, nobody will say it's healthy to smoke. Even sugar knows, of course, stops cancer. Very few people will say it's not healthy to smoke. Everyone knows it's dangerous to smoke. So why does everyone smoke? Why do so many people smoke?
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure. Because when you're 14 years old and you don't smoke, you're a girl. You're 14 years old and in some other place, you're not smoking pot, you're not smoking grass, you're a weed. Yeah? So what is it? So it's peer pressure. But they know, Rahman and Shani got hooked onto this stuff, you're ruined. But peer pressure. Says a chinuch, positive peer pressure. Putting yourself in an environment that is shofars going all over the place. And blowing and saying, no, we're Abdi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're doing the right thing. I don't care what everyone else says. We're going to be doing this. That helps you along your way. Says of Yochanan Schlesinger, extra vault. What did they blow? What did they blow in those places? The same Tekiah Shron is Malchus, Zechonis, and Shafus. Like the blow in Rosh Hashanah. What's the idea? Why Malchus, Zechonis, and Shafus? What's the idea there? The idea there, says Rabbi Yochum Schlesinger, is what's Malchus, Zechonis, and Shafus? It's first to remind us of Akedah Yitzchok. Yeah, that's the idea of the balance of Akedah Yitzchok. What's Akedah Yitzchok? Mosiris Nefesh. Rabbi Yisai, to give up money and to give back our body, we love our money. We love our money. Yeah, we love money. All of us, we all love money, and therefore in order to give back avodin, to give back karkois, that takes mesiras nefesh. And to hear that Reuven's being mois nefesh and Shimon's being mois nefesh and Levi's being mois nefesh, putting yourself in an environment where people are machshiv Torah, people are machshiv the real things in life, makes life a lot easier, makes it much, much easier for us to grow and to be real with what life is really all about. The Gemara talks about why say v'chol meidecho? You get people whose momoin is more chavim migufom. Yeah, so you think to yourself, which fruitcake, honestly, which loose ball, honestly, has a situation where his money is more chosher than his goof. Come on, ridiculous. But then you hear people who are working 16, 17, 18 hours a day. And then you realize, these are the people who, you know, they're going to have a heart attack at the age of 40. The money is more chosher than the goof. So, and these people are tied to their money. People don't see their wife and kids. People who live in places that are dangerous because they don't want to move somewhere else because, you know, they can't live with a swimming pool and tennis court. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar got shot. Oh, he's so sad. Why are you doing living there? Why are you living there? Yeah? I know, because if you sell that, how much can you get? Okay, see, mom is more chosher than the goof for you. Nebuchadnezzar, Rachmanis, the Torah talks about you as well. Fine. You're the meshugan that everyone talks about. But we have that. And therefore, be moist and nefesh, to stand up and say, what you value is not what we value. That is yovel. Because Baruch Hu should give us a shab dishmaya, not to be pulled in, influence what the world is telling us. And by the way, in order to make it a little bit easier, in order to get the peer pressure off, I'm just telling you, I've been to the world recently. Yeah, I've been to the world recently. A lot more people are just dying to be in yeshivas. Yeah, they're doing anything possible to write off their debts and to come to the yeshivas, you know, and to be an avreich for a few years, not to worry about all the banking and the interest rates and the credit crunch, just to sit and to live like an avreich for a year or two. I promise you, there'll be people who will do anything to possibly do that. We're here already. Let's use it, and let's steig and medicine become very, very great.